Good evening. This is broadcast number 581. We do broadcast them at side two. If you tape recorded off the air or have tape cassettes, January 24th, and it's still 1983. 1 month gone already, but it's flying by. Side two of the shooting of the Pope. It's very important to take this event that began as a far-right Nazi link, which it goes back in my research 20 years to the John Kennedy assassination. If the people who were the real researchers, I have a friend in Philadelphia who I've known ever since I began my research, and we have talked about those people that flake off, that appear to be researchers but won't handle certain information. And one of the litmus papers or points of accuracy is how far will they go to the Nazi connections that were apparent immediately when John Kennedy was murdered. The contacts of Lee Harvey Oswald with the right wing, with the military intelligence, with agents of the CIA, with the FBI, the people that he worked with, the International Rescue Committee, George de Morenschild, George Bowie, the whole network at the Jagger's Chili Stovall, where he worked as the printer with security clearances. How many people are willing to face the New Orleans area, the Trade Martin, Clay Shaw, and the international Nazis, and the multi-connections of him going back, and then passing it off as a Fidel Castro or a Russian conspiracy? And when they couldn't do that, they say, well, he didn't like the East or West or the rich or poor, and therefore he had nothing to live for. When they reduce it down, there can't be a motive because he was a mixture of everything. Well, this story of the Pope goes back to that kind of a cover story now, pulling out the Bulgarian communist thing. The only thing that I just can't imagine is why they keep trying to use it. Now, after that broadcast, there was an article from Ernest Conine. He writes for the LA Times, his columns are in the Houston Post, and he works with the intelligence community. And he had a story, Plot Against the Pope, a Real Whodunit. The real mystery is why it generates so little interest. Well, the left knows it's a lie and probably not true, and they've been smeared 100 times and don't want to investigate it. And the right wing knows that these stories have a basis going back to the origin of a genre. They're not going to rustle any bit of it. In between, the 90% of the population can't figure it out because there's so many messages and they aren't trained to analyze or think in these terms anyway. But this article goes on that the obvious and rather terrifying implication of Soviet involvement was first suggested seriously in September in a Reader's Digest article by Claire Sterling and in the NBC white paper. Since then, the finger of suspicion has come to point more credibly at the Bulgarians and therefore at the Russians. Yet the stories from Rome are being played inside most newspapers, and aside from NBC television, hasn't paid any attention. The general public isn't interested. Well, maybe the general public knows, like Mr. Alexander Coburn caught on, that the Kalb family are 300% propaganda, ministers of propaganda and liars and covering up. And he's saying, well, there's 580 million Roman Catholics and skepticism is a healthy thing. How come more people aren't going into it? You know that if a major broadcasting company came and said, well, maybe Brussels, we want to do a documentary similar to the NBC, only a different version on your evidence of a right-wing plot, even though it's so much more massive than Claire Sterling, feeding it to Reader's Digest on every newsstand in America. You know, the Reader's Digest is at every Safeway, Monty Mart, I don't know where you buy your food or groceries or drugstores. It's pushed at you at eye level as you go through the pay stand. You can't miss it. If you don't buy it, you can't miss it. And it is the organ of time. And the way time life was and is, people doesn't push that. They push the personalities, but inside they're subtle. The beautiful people, you know, will have Mrs. DeLorean sitting on a couch with the most angelic embroidered pillow, and she has a special designer for her court appearances and changes her image, and they're holding the children and Bible in one hand, and they become the mama papa image, you know, not the jet set, but the goody two shoes. But that's the image they throw at you. Very effective. So that Claire Sterling, all she has to do is live in Rome and feed the Lumumba information and what's going on in Africa and so forth over here to Spellman. And then he goes right to the White House and she feeds the cowboys and gives them the information, and they go ahead with that. The San Jose Mercury had a story November 27th, no sign of international conspiracy found yet, that they're looking into it. The Rome magistrate is conducting an inquiry, but they've gathered nothing so far to prove the assassination was more than the work of a few people. There's nothing to sustain the assertion that it was a result of a conspiracy on an international level. The magistrate, Mr. Cudillo, who made his statement in a press conference, was referring to the allegations of Claire Sterling and NBC News, that's Marvin Kalb, on the international terrorism and the Bulgarian Secret Service and the Soviet Secret Service that organized the assassination. And the Italian officials say that there isn't anything yet at all about this, and they're watching it very carefully. They did arrest Mr. Antonov, who they said was at St. Peter's Square, but other people said he was elsewhere, and they're going into this further. But they specifically mentioned the Kalb-Sterling network. They didn't mention Kalb, but the NBC program, the Sterling-Kalb network. And as again, this Voice article takes it right back to Langley, where I know it is, but keep in mind, we haven't identified Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite, your loved newsman, and your top. Bill Moyer was on television last night talking about, not last night, it was several weeks ago, talking about something that sounded very reasonable about the poor in America and his concern about the world and situations that we've gotten ourselves into. And my daughter was there. We were watching the news. I said, "Do you know that man?" She was rather impressed because we turned to Bill Moyer's subject, and he seems like the reasonable man on television. I said, "That was press secretary for Lyndon Johnson. He arranged the Dallas cover-up. He arranged the hiding of these connections in the conspiracy. He became press secretary in the White House and built his position on national public radio and other radio by being another layer of the news media cover-up, CIA, 100%, has to be. Whether he's not Catholic because his father's a Christian minister in the South, but Bill Moyer comes on as a reasonable man doing the same deadly minister of propaganda, this insidious thing that is happening. So I will jump back and forth from the Pope cover-up and these stories going on right to Kennedy, which is something I know very well. As a matter of fact, in August of this year, when Claire Sterling was putting on her article in Reader's Digest on the Pope, it was broadcast number 560, that was 21 weeks ago, I was talking about the death of Roberta Calvi in London and how the family of the Calvi said, it was in the Wall Street Journal, August the 19th, said that their father was killed by an organization, the Opus Dei, that was based in Spain, that they suspected that his banking problems began when he mixed Vatican affairs with debts of the Banco Ambrosiano and the Vatican Bank, and that secret money, $1.4 billion of the Vatican's out in Panama that they signed for and won't come up with to match their obligations. They've cleared themselves up with it. And I mentioned on that broadcast, going back to it, how the family specifically mentioned in the Wall Street Journal the Opus Dei. And then I also mentioned that in May 1981, when the Pope was shot, the right-wing connections, and I said that Claire Sterling, in her Reader's Digest, is pure BS, and offered meet her any time and place about Aja's background. And this is another link to the Kennedy assassination. The Opus Dei was tied up, if you have the book, Were We Controlled, with the Bunge Corporation when John Kennedy was murdered. And the Bunge Corporation is headquarters in New Jersey and in Europe. It has to do with the commodities. And the Opus Dei worked closely with the Bunge down in Argentina. And the day that John Kennedy was murdered, a large sum of money, billions of dollars profit, was made through the Bunge Corporation. Several billion dollars in stocks went in cash to Argentina. They sold their stock on the American stock market on the commodities of oil and various commodities they had. They sold it in the morning. And then John Kennedy was murdered at noon. The stock market dropped, took a licking, but they sold at a high price. And the several billion, went down to Argentine. And Argentine later was linked with Clay Shaw and Martin Bormann to the ordering of the murder of John Kennedy through the International Trademark and the Opus Dei. So we have Cardinal Spellman on the back of John Kennedy, you have to kill Castro. The reason they wanted Castro was that Batista was, as mentioned before, was part of their syndicate of the Luciano trademark in Havana, and John Kennedy wouldn't go into Cuba. So the anti-Castro Cubans that set up the assassination team by Robert Mayhew in the United States with the organized crime syndicate could murder anyone in this country, including 130 witnesses to the John Kennedy assassination who knew something or who would speak up. A lot of people say, well, if John Kennedy's been gone this many years, how come people don't speak up? They don't read the obituaries to see the primary witnesses that were off. So getting back to the outline of the Opus Dei, another article, this is from Henry Kamm, K-A-M-M, is studying these stories for the New York Times. The Pope inquiry, again, similar to the one I had before, finds no international links. The Washington Post and the New York Times did have the story putting down NBC and Claire Sterling by name. This is November 27th, 1982. Where they specifically are saying there is no international plot, and that's Marvin Kalb and Claire Sterling. They're denying this TV movie and the Reader's Digest, and they're not going along with that, even though those are the two saturation points in the United States that work effectively, the Reader's Digest and NBC News, because then the other stories pick it up from the NBC News, and it becomes a continuous propaganda circle. Now, the act of war is an important part, because who is pushing it? After NBC broke it, and Claire Sterling in Rome, going back to the Lumumba, and John the 23rd, and John Kennedy, and here's the Kalb family, the expert Madeline Kalb and Marvin Kalb on that story. Who wants it to be? Who picks it up from NBC in August and Claire Sterling in the Reader's Digest? And I mentioned to you the New York Times article, December 24th, 1982. This is the act of war. And Mr. Henry Kamm, again, is trying to tone down, but mentioning the Bettino-Craxi connections. The Washington Post has the act of war, and it's very important that they use this terminology to think that the world is against our Pope and our leader because he wants labor unions in Poland. And then the Soviet Union suppresses them. So we want to get World War III going on Polish territory. They did it twice before in Eastern Europe. Let's push it again. Now, Solidarity newspaper had an article in 1981. This was a while back at the time of the Masonic Lodge scandal with Licio Gelli and Bettino Craxi. They described the Socialist Party leader, General Secretary Bettino Craxi, this is quotations, as the scandal unravels, the United States State Department wants to play down the importance of the Masonic Lodge scandal. The New York Times was pushing for Craxi to replace an Arnaldo Forlani, F-O-R-L-A-N-I. Forlani was forced to hand in his resignation quickly when the government fell, but the New York Times... Also, Mr. Bernard Kalb worked with and does the New York Times, is one of their agents for a long, long time. And it was the New York Times that published the Warren Report and gave that first supplement and press interviews, just as the NBC did on the Pope shooting. The special 38-page supplement or something like that on who killed Kennedy, the final answer, Oswald did this, Oswald did that. They have been accused of being a leftist newspaper, but a lot of people know the difference. New York Times was pushing for Craxi as if it's any of their damn business to become the head of Italy. Craxi was aided by Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger and Colonel Gaddafi, who wanted to take power, and they wanted him to have the power in Italy, Mr. Craxi, and he still is the voice who's saying the act of war. Craxi would become the new Mussolini strongman. The P2 scandal, this is from Solidarity, involves Craxi, and he was brought into the sunlight and forced to be exposed to the Socialist Party when Gelli fled. Now, the P2 leads to the intersection point of financial, political capability, and funds. It protects terrorists all over Europe. They're secret societies that deploys terrorism at the highest level. And that goes back again to Wilson and Turple. In fact, Frank Turpel said on national television he knew Aja, the guy who shot the Pope, and Edwin Wilson, before he came back to the country, was in Rome with United States officials after the assassination attempt on the Pope, and he knows Aja. So that Croxi is yelling, the Italian government is yelling, act of war, and those are the people directly linked to the Masonic scandal and the Opus Dei. Another story, the papal slaying bid is linked to Bulgaria, called an act of war. Now that again is the Reverend Moon newspaper in Washington, D.C., the New York Times, the Washington Times, rather, that took over the Washington Star. It's owned by Reverend Moon. Italian Defense Minister Lelio Ligorio, L-A-G-O-R-I-O, charged yesterday that the attempt to kill John Paul II was an act of war, and goes on and said there was evidence that the Bulgarian government in both the papal shooting and the kidnap of U.S. General James Dozier. Now, I said all along and have about a mile of files and never did them on that James Dozier thing. The only thing he said when he got out was that he really liked his captors, but he couldn't stand rock music. And there was no reason to believe he wasn't kidnapped like agent provocateurs like Emily and William Harris in the SLA. Incidentally, you might have read a week or two ago that Emily and William Harris are going to be out of jail in June of 83. He's living in an outside, inside place now, and he's going to work for a legal firm for a man who represented Russell Little at the trial out here in Salinas, and he's going to be a paralegal. The man who I said worked with the CIA and Time Magazine and the narcotics squad in Indiana, William Harris, is going to work for a law office in San Francisco that represents and gets these right-wing, looking, appearing leftist people out of jail. And Emily Harris is going to work for a computer place. They were highly educated people from Indiana that came out to form the SLA to make it look like a leftist group and to smoke out all leftist organizations, which they did a pretty good job, but for all purposes, they're dead now. But the story of Croxi is important, and the role of these newspapers pushing the story of the Bulgarian is also vitally important to this, because you can break them down to certain power lines and describe who's who in this battle, and they fall consistently with past broadcasts, as I say, that I've done. Now, there was a story by Michael Ledeen in the newspapers last week in the Los Angeles Times. Michael Ledeen is described in the LA Times, a senior fellow in the international affairs at Georgetown University Center for Strategic Study. Here's the big story. It's the Sunday editorial, page 5, Bulgarian Connection Unravels. Evidence mounts of a plot against the Pope, pointing to the KGB, by Michael Ledeen. And there's a cartoon of the KGB and the CIA making a whisper about this. Now, earlier on a broadcast I did called the Ledeen Connections. Many of you have it. It's tape 570. That was 11 weeks ago, November the 11th. An article in these Times about Michael Ledeen published in September the 8th, 1982. Michael Ledeen is from the State Department and the Center for Strategic and International Studies, the expert on KGB. He has direct links to the Masonic P2 scandal, that's the Opus Dei, to Licio Gelli. He represents them and is their minister of propaganda for them. He represents the Italian fascist and the CIA, the Mafia Nazi Network. I said that 11 weeks ago on broadcast 570. Francesco Pazienza, P-A-Z-I-E-N-Z-A, Francesco Pazienza, Roberta Calvi, and Professor Ledeen all work together. They're an entirely American thread that risks blowing up a new case inside Ronald Reagan's staff, I announced, you know, several weeks ago. An entirely American thread that is blowing into this case, working on his staff. Now, Licio Gelli was at Ronald Reagan's inauguration. Michael Sindona, for all purposes, they say he wanted to give $1 million to Richard Nixon. And Maurice Stans says, well, I didn't accept it. He was the finance chairman of CREEP. But the moment the men were arrested at the Watergate Hotel, Stans and the guys went right to the offices of CREEP and destroyed, burned, and sliced the records of every donor. So why would we believe if Michael Sindona has a lawyer named Richard Nixon, why he wasn't funding the Republican Party. If the Secretary of Treasury was Michael Sindona's banking partner, why wouldn't he give $1 million to Nixon, and why wouldn't they shred those things so fast? Probably the reason to shred it was to break the Vatican connections, because in 72 and 73, Sindona was pouring that Italian money, $45 million from the European banks, into the Franklin in New York City that was going to collapse shortly afterwards in 1945. Well, it was 20 weeks ago I was talking about Ledeen and quoted the articles from In These Times. When investigating the cycle of money, they discovered bank accounts in Switzerland and links of Italy to the United States to Michael Ledeen. And Alexander Haig and Michael Ledeen worked together with the Vatican, the Mafia, and so forth. So that In These Times had a story about ITT and their satellite station at ITT, again, working with Adolf Hitler, arming Hitler, rearming, forming organizations throughout the world after the war. The ITT satellite was on Licio Gelli's telephone down when he was fled and was living in South America. And on these telephone conversations that were picked up in Europe, they linked the name of Ledeen to Licio Gelli, who is their representative, not only with the Calvi banks that closed, but in Washington, D.C., to Alexander Haig, Secretary of State at the time, and Ledeen, working closely with Pazienza, his good friend in Washington. So who is saying it is a Bulgarian connection? Again, it's Michael Ledeen, and these aren't single articles. You see, these are picked up in other newspapers and carried. So we, oh, pardon me, I hit the mic. So we have the Ledeen connection a month, 2 months before he comes out, and I identified him as part of the Licio Gelli with Alexander Haig. This is one reason Haig had to be kicked out of as Secretary of State immediately after he had arranged the trip to Great Britain for Ronald and Nancy. They wanted desperately to stay at the Queen's house, and they got their way to be with the British monarchy. But that weekend that I say is so important, in June of 82, the banks were closing. Calvi was hung that week. Haig had worked closely with the Argentine Licio Gelli faction that was fighting the Falklands. We couldn't have a Secretary of State with these connections. He had to be taken out of government, and instead he's put into corporations and education centers, the think tank. I mentioned the Heritage Foundation, Princeton University, that's building the space stations for genocide, the Alternative 3 route. Can't update you on that. I will soon. Done many broadcasts on that. And he's with MGM and Kirk Kerkorian. And again, that's Neil Berg and the mysterious hunks of millions that Kerkorian picks up, 45 million in Europe, in Germany. Neil Berg from Western Airlines, the president of Western, left this week. Neil is voluntary, non-pay, mysterious trip around the world and comes home with millions of dollars. This goes back to Opus Dei controlling studios, controlling what you see, and networks throughout the various corporations and education centers. So Haig leaves the State Department because of his links to Ledeen and Gelli and the Masonic Lodge and the P2 and the Opus Dei. But he covers bases. University is Princeton. The think tank is the Heritage Foundation with Richard Mellenscave and Edwin Wilson funds, and the anti-Soviet propaganda since the end of World War II. Continuous, but headquartered then after Richard Allen brought the money home from Germany to set up the Center for Strategic Studies over there at Georgetown. So Haig goes to one picture studio, a university, and a think tank, and also was president of the United Technologies, and that is another story we could go into. Now, who else are the propagandists? The Bulgarians did it, in spite of all the evidence. You have NBC, you have the Ledeen connection, you have Claire Sterling, of course. So who else besides the act of war? There's a picture of Richard Pipes. I've mentioned him several times. I'll mention him over and over. December the 19th, 1982, Richard Pipes, shown in the National Security Office, will return to teach in Russia. And it says, departing NSC National Security official mulls the Soviet role in the Washington Post. Now, this is the Washington Post. It's got a large picture of him, and it's carried on to the next page. Sunday, December 19th, a picture of Pipes with the Soviet role in the Pope plot. You turn to A12, where it continues. Departing national security aide points to KGB ties in Bulgaria. I mean, these are like 1-inch black lines. I'm done. Don't mean you can't miss that. Isn't like the one where the Soviet Union's saying, why don't you check out Lumumba, Allende, and Letelier? You have to look on page 48 at the bottom of the page to find that one. But the Bulgarian thing, Pipes, now Pipes can leave the White House and talk about it, another story, and drop off role in Pope shooting is traced. Isn't that wonderful? Associated Press, San Francisco Examiner, December the 19th, Richard Pipes will be returning to Harvard, leaving the staff of the National Security Council, said in a television interview, it's certain that the Bulgarian government, it's almost certain, is involved in this. In such cases, you never know whether the evidence will stand up in court because intelligence services don't leave trails behind. They don't sign documents. But it seems to me the evidence is strong. Of course the intelligence doesn't leave signs behind. You don't see any signs. Well, you do see paths. If you look 1 month into the John Kennedy murder, you can find the hand of Langley. The minute they put Alan Dulles on the Warren Commission, and Alan Dulles had been fired by John Kennedy as having a secret government behind his back, and you put John J. McCloy from the Chase Manhattan, who was the head commissioner of Germany, who took all the Nazis out of prison and released them to get their funds going again, like Hallmar Schacht and the whole team of Nazis he released. John McCloy's career goes back to being the one to lock up the Japanese in the internment camps at the time of World War II. And now they're going to give a resettlement fee of millions of dollars to those people in California. We're going to dole out money for them for having interned them. Californians in debt. John J. McCloy, who's still alive, like Herman Apps, he doesn't dish it out of his pocket. He says, lock him up. And then years later, he says, hey, taxpayers, you better pay him for this. You know, we locked him up, but it's your job to pay him. So we have Mr. Pipes on television, interviewed by all the stations. And who else is behind the KGB story? The picture of Henry Kissinger. Kissinger blames the KGB. This is in the newspaper this week, January the 1st. They picture Henry Kissinger. No other conclusions. Well, Henry Kissinger and the Marvin Cow family going way back, and Claire Sterling and the Reader's Digest. This covers a whole era. You see, this isn't just an isolated instance. That's why I say that Fritz Kramer is so important, because he directs, and this is acknowledged, he is the Geppetto, the guy who holds the puppet strings. If this puppet has three strings, it's Kissinger and Haig, and now it's Sonnenfeld, he always was in the Pentagon, who's in charge of looking into the MX positions. We'll do more on that soon. Henry Kissinger says the accounts on the assassination and attempt. Here's a Turkish terrorist who suddenly shows up in Bulgaria, which is not the normal thing for a Turk to do. Now, isn't that analysis? This is the great thinker of the world. He suddenly, this is his evidence, he's suddenly in Bulgaria, which a Turk doesn't do. How many Turks are in Bulgaria today? I mean, what does he get this? That's not a normal thing for a Turk to do, to go to Bulgaria. He lives in the best hotel in Bulgaria. Didn't Artie Brammer stay at the Waldorf Astoria and the Marriott Hotel and an expensive hotel in Canada, a ne'er-do-well who hadn't worked for a year, family impoverished? He shoots Wallace at the time that Richard Nixon has asked Wallace not to run and break off the Republican votes. He needs all he can get. Wallace won't do it. So in Laurel, Maryland, he's shot in May of 72. I mean, why can't you stay at the best hotel? Didn't all of these people? He travels all over Europe. It cannot happen without Bulgarian secret police. You can't travel all over Europe with a CIA budget of $22 billion a year. You can't travel over Europe. The guy has 55,000. It's nothing to say, as I read somewhere, that there may be something that got away at the higher levels. This does not happen in Bulgaria. It had to be the Soviets, Henry Kissinger says. Here's the logic of the Harvard professor. It has to be the Soviets. In this case, here's a Polish pope who threatens he'll go to Poland and oppose them. That would be a formidable operation for the KGB. It had to be them. So Mr. Pipes and then Henry Kissinger come in, and the Soviets had to have a sign. And then that story is wire serviced all over. And I'll give you. Then the Jews have to get into the act. Israel believes Italy's claim of a KGB Bulgaria plot. This is a country not recognized by the Pope, but they recognize the PLO and Arafat. This is a country that Alexander Coburn identified with Menachem Begin. It's history. It's there if you want to see it. Working with the Mussolini Brown Shirts, working in Poland with the Nazis and the anti-Semitic Poles. He was arrested, Mr. Begin, remember, by the Soviets, not by the Germans that came into Poland. So Israel is now lining up. It's a Bulgarian KGB plot. I've questioned the people in power in that country for a long, long time. So isn't it interesting with Mr. Pipes and Henry Kissinger and Claire Sterling and Mr. Marvin Kalba, the Opus Dei, that the Israeli press says that they actually believe that the KGB was in the attempt to shoot the Pope. If they're going to do this thing, the Bulgarians would do it. And those are the news stories out of Israel. Thoroughly disgusting. Our time is up. I am spending a lot of time, as I say, on this subject. I'm going to do one more week or two more weeks on it and then get caught up on the other news that has been taking place. But this is so terribly important. And even if I go back to certain items here, I want the way the propaganda is thrown out now, if you can see it and apply it to everything that I've said before, then these other cases in the future and the past will become clear to you, because these are the same people operating, the same modus operandi. But I think they have a boomerang, like the Soviet Union said, and maybe it'll be time to call a halt to some of the things they're doing. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM. Emanates in Pacific Grove, California. I'll be back with you next week. Pulled the wool over other eyes for so long. I don't think they'll get away with it is ridiculous. And the fact that the Soviet Union mentions three murders, go into Lumumba, Allende, and Letelier, that would pull these rats out of our government and get some course of normalcy if such a thing were possible. But again, the time is up and I have to stop now.